So, have you heard any scary news recently? There's a profound and increasingly shared message going around, especially in the light of recent news, that we should not and cannot trust each other, that the world is an increasingly dangerous place, and we should therefore be increasingly afraid. Mass shootings, escalating fear, need to arm ourselves. In that fearful reality, it's really hard to care for your neighbor and create a community because we don't know who or what to trust. And part of that not trusting is wondering if we will be treated as well by others as we treat them. And another part of it is wondering if we can trust our leaders in all the various expressions of our communities, nation, county, police, healthcare, church, media, scouts. And in the midst of all this doubt and anxiety, Jesus walks in here this morning and says, "Have no fear, little flock." Oh, and by the way, as far as protection goes, I, the leader for your life, I've come to say that I'm like the thief that you need to guard against. Because I'm going to break into your life, your soul, your habits, your prejudices, your smugness, your self-esteem, your I did it my way independence, your Lady Bountiful noblesse oblige attitude toward the poor when you help them. I'm going to break in and steal all of that. Jesus, the thief on the middle cross. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yes, indeed. Jesus was not the Messiah that the Jewish leaders expected, and he's not the one that we expect either. That's what he's telling us this morning. With God's plans for you, the thing that's certain is that we live with uncertainty. Yet, we're called to live by faith that God's promises are sure, that God will stay in a loving relationship with us, hold us in God's care always, whether we live or whether we die, beyond death. Trusting that promise is what it truly means to live by faith. And that's the point of the story of Abraham that we heard. God kept promising Abraham immortality in the form of an heir, and years passed, and there was none, and Abraham expressed major doubts. Doubting is a characteristic of deep faith. And Abraham kept on with the pestering and reminding God of the promise and expressing his doubts about God's ability to effect change. When you heard that story this morning, you might have thought, haven't we heard this recently? Don't we keep hearing this over and over in church? Well, it does seem like it, because that story in Genesis keeps being repeated over and over every time Abraham has doubts again. So it keeps on coming up. His repeated doubtful questioning and God's repeated reassurances that the promise was believable and could be trusted. In today's iteration of this doubt promise, God says, "Look at the stars, Abraham. Not just an heir, but thousands, more than you can ever count." We just sang the hymn, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder see the stars, then sings my soul how great thou art." And we went on to sing of our trust in what God has done for us. God wants us to trust that the promises God makes for our future, the promise spoken to us by Jesus, the promise, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, wants us to trust that that's a promise to you that God continues to keep. Give you. Gift from the Father. A parent's gift to a child, not to be earned or deserved. God has promised you the kingdom of justice, peace, and mercy just because you're God's heir along with Christ. And we, the heirs of that kingdom, are here this morning because in spite of everything, we haven't given up hope. First, that it will come. And secondly, that we are an important part of it, even if we don't live on earth long enough to see it. But as the Hebrews reading says, we can't see the city that we know God will build, but we live in our tents, temporary dwellings, journey dwellings. Live in our tents in the certainty that the city will eventually be there. And in that city of God, in that city of God at your journey's end, expect to be surprised. The comfort for us of the way things are, the status quo, everyone knowing who's privileged and who isn't, all that's going to be taken away. And Jesus tells us that he's the thief who's going to take it. He's going to break into our comfortable way of doing things and steal them. He's going to steal our faith that it's up to us to save ourselves. He's going to steal our idea that we can cut power deals with God. He's going to take our faith that we can live in fortresses of status and power and position. Jesus says, I'm going to come and break into those fortresses of your lives, and I'm going to toss out your defenses. I'm coming as a thief. I'm not waiting for an invitation. I'm getting rid of your fortresses and with it your anxiety around protecting it, because you don't need it. You have been given the kingdom. You're living under God's protection and with God's promises. And if you, like those disciples Jesus was speaking to in his time, if you find it hard to trust those promises, and he says, look at Abraham, who had that trouble trusting the promises too. The kingdom is coming in such surprising ways that if you're not prepared for it, not looking for it, you'll miss it. Because it's easy to miss a God who comes in love and grace when what we're expecting is law and punishment, a God who deals, you do it this way, and then I'll reward you. Jesus tells us that our God doesn't operate the way the world does. He likens God to a master who comes home and serves the servants. What? Where's the tit for tat? Where's the reckoning? Where's the hierarchy of respect? You know, we know that when the parents are away, and then they're before they're expected home, the kids look at their watches, they're going to be home soon, so let's tidy up all the evidence of the parties and the mischief that we made before the parents get home, right? And here we have a God who's like the parent who gets home early when they're not ready, sees the mess, and still has presents for them. So if we trust that we have God's kingdom with us, that we live in it, then how come there's so much pain in the world? Disease and shootings and disaster. Christians can see, along with everyone else, that the kingdom has not yet arrived in its fullness. Even we know that we ourselves don't live into its vision most of the time. We don't live with each other as God intends, and we even miss seeing God's work most of the time, that work we sang about in that first hymn. We don't see it most of the time. When we see the awesomeness of the heavens and even in the incredible love of God that's shown to us in the incarnation and sacrifice of Christ, we mostly miss it. And because it's so easy to miss, God gives us another gift, a faith community to help us see it. Have no fear. Fear not, little flock, little church. Martin Luther once described the church as a place of conversation and consolation of the faithful. So, we're given the kingdom, no strings attached, and we can put it in a closet. You don't ever have to open a present somebody gives you. But if you want to open your gift, how can you use it and enjoy it? Where's the manual that comes with this gift? What's it this gift for? What are we going to do with the kingdom? Well, one way to enjoy and use it is to be a part of the little flock, this place for conversation and consolation. Today we install our leaders, and we thank those whose service in their office is completed. All of us are called to serve here in some way to support the flock that is Advent, even those of you who are present just for today and who support the worship and fellowship by your presence. Each of you is a part of the fulfillment of God's promise to give us the kingdom. Thank you, and thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.